Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, after 2 week hiatus, finally, the Hot Rod has returned to Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the king of king himself, the man who has been sober for 24 hours now. Congratulate me. Pat myself on the back, as usual. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I'm surprised he's here right now. Was over the weekend, he was crying like crazy over when he was watching the funeral of that Prince, whatever his name, guy up in England who passed away, so-and-so. His name is Sean Black, everyone.
Good grief. And look, if you're going to at least insult the royal family, at least know who they are. I mean, my gosh. Yes, Sean Black in the building once again. Good grief.
So what was the guy's name?
Prince Philip.
It doesn't matter what the guy name is. It doesn't matter. He is not the Hot Rod. The people tune in to listen to me and to you sometimes, okay? So let's be happy and be honored with that, and you're welcome. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Yes, as we start the year, start our seventh year of doing this show. Good God. Help us all.
Seven years? Oh, God. 7 years.
Yeah.
I was talking about police shooting, mass shooting, black on black crime, white on white crime, sex.
So in other words, nothing has changed since the first show that we've done.
Basically, you know what? I give you props for that. Basically, no. Nothing has changed. Besides me gaining weight and losing more hair, nothing has changed indeed. But
I understand.
Yeah. All right. You know what, folks? Let's get right into it. It's like we were busy for the last 2 weeks, you know, to do other things. There's so much to talk about. There's so many things that happened in the past couple of weeks. There's something going on right now as Julie is talking about whether the cop, Derek Chauvin or Chauvin, Derek Chauvin, thank you very much. Will be guilty or not. But Sean Black, what is your poison right now? What do you want to address first?
Well, let's see. We purposely, just to give a little bit of background, we purposely didn't talk about Derek Chauvin from just before the case started to now because we wanted to make sure that a lot of the case was either already decided upon or there was something of note to bring up that we didn't already know going into the case. So I think it made much more sense that we waited and waited and waited. And now that we know that the case is being deliberated now as the case went to the jury, and I guess we'll find out however many days or weeks it takes, we'll find out from there. As far as what to start on, I don't know. I don't know if you want to start on a happy note or a bad note or an even worse note. I'll leave that up to you. You're the host of the show. I'll leave it to you,
though. Okay. Well, the bottom line with the Derek Chauvin case, like I told Sean Black earlier today, if the jury came up with a verdict today, right now, they already knew before the case was over what they were about to, if they were, I said, guilty or not guilty, even with, before the case was over. And sad that only in America, as they say, that we have a child for this. Because as we say many times, if it was a black cop placing me or a white man on the floor, same scenario, everything the same, except for the race, we wouldn't have a case right now. We probably would not be talking about it right now. The world would not probably be watching right now. The black cop would be guilty already. And as Sean and I and everybody that's on the panel have been talking about this for the last 7 years, how many times these cases of police killing, I'm just saying innocent people for now. I'm sorry using the race card. you know, fortunate it is, the race has to do with it. But talk about the how many times police have gone away with murder. It is so common. If the verdict is not guilty right now, as I told you before, I won't be shocked. And, of course, people will be angry. It's like you told me earlier before, Sean Black. It was like the white the O.J. Simpson case back in, what, 25, 26 years ago, where all the white people was shocked and surprised and angry, while all the black people, we was cheering, celebrating it, that a black man, quote, in quotes, got away with murder. You know, was like something unheard of. Like O.J. Simpson beat the system. You know. And I throw this question to you. Why do you think this is the same thing happening today? If Derek is found guilty, will you see more of a celebration or you see a split anger and celebration?
I don't, even depending on one of three things happen. If Chauvin is found guilty and he gets a slap on the wrist instead of what, based on everything that I've seen, if he is guilty, he should get many, many, many years and decades in jail. If he gets 5 years or something along those lines, a real slap on the wrist kind of verdict, black people will be up in arms. If Chauvin gets jail time and it's what we are thinking would be getting the book thrown at him for a very long time, there are going to be a lot of angry white people and a lot of police supporters that are going to look at this and be up in arms and angry. Now, if Chauvin doesn't get convicted at all and he walks out as a free man, and I told you this before the case started, I told you after it actually happened when the protests were going on last year, I'm not an advocate of it, but I can actually see, not just nationwide, but around the world looking at this, rioting, anger on a scale that we probably have not even fathomed yet. And the reason why I say that is just outside that courthouse in Minnesota, there are literally 2,000 to 3,000 National Guardsmen and police officers in the area just in case. Now, mind you, there hasn't even been, they just got the case given to them today. So this is just in case we get something that they can't hold on to. They have fencing around the courthouse. It looks literally the way that it looked after the Capitol insurrection happened back in January.
On January 6th.
Yes. So metal fences put up around the courthouse. So there is an anticipation either way that something that could happen or may happen during any part of this trial and deliberation. We know that the jury's been sequestered, so we don't know where they are, and they're going to deliberate until they actually get a verdict. And when that happens, that same, as you referenced, the O.J. Simpson trial, where everybody can say, I can remember where I was when the O.J. trial decision was. You can remember where the O.J. Simpson trial verdict was read. You know what you were doing. That's going to be that kind of moment in this nation and worldwide, because all of the protests that we saw last year, this, it's ground zero is this case. And there have been so many other cases that have happened that are surrounding this that it's literally the epicenter of what will happen next going forward.
Okay. Brother B, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling.
Hey, greetings and salutations, everyone. How you guys doing?
Greetings and salutations, my friend.
I'm surprised you're up so early. I thought you'd be, you know, home sleeping, drinking a 32 ounce of, you know, some
stuff. I wish.
Right now.
Well, I wish. I'm at work. I'm at work.
Oh,
8 to 8.
Oh, not that. I'm sorry. I thought you'd be out there, with your fork and, your pink fork and torches ready for a nice little riot, just in case.
Nah, man. Listen.
No.
We've been through this time and time again. It's to be expected. The thing to not be expected is they find him guilty and throw the book at him. Show us, show me something new. Show me something different. Otherwise, it whatever they decide to let him walk or slap him on the wrist, it's to be expected. So my thing is, why get angry about something that we already know is probably going to happen? If you
because
really
to be enough is enough.
Listen,
I'm not disagreeing with you, but enough is enough. It's time for a change.
No, it's not. No, Hot Rod, listen, I respect you, brother. But these cats out here, it ain't enough. Because if it was real, remember, our forefathers and mothers, they didn't ride the bus for how long? They walked for how long? They endured so much crap for civil rights, that movement. And before that, and what are we doing? We can't even stop buying clothes and cars and certain things from a dealership, from white owned stuff. We can't stop doing that just for a day.
True. We say that many times on both shows. We say this all the time. But people still don't get the picture, but they have the right to get upset and angry and burn down corporate stores like Target and Starbucks. And I'm sorry, what pissed me off the most, and we say this all the time, we have the right, we have the nerve to burn down small businesses.
Of course.
Especially
it's easy
black
to pick on. It's easy. And it's easy to pick on them. It's easy to pick on them because you know what I'm saying? Just like it's easier to rob a black person or a black man or a woman because you turn around and do that to some white folk, your ass, they're going to throw the book at you. They're going to get you. Simple and plain. So some people pick and choose. They pick and choose their battles. All right?
True, but like I told Brother B earlier, excuse me, I told Sean Black earlier, what happened if this thing was around, this thing was vice versa, as we always love to play the race card. What happened if it was George Floyd that was a cop and he had his knee on Derek's neck? Do you think we would have a trial right now? Or George Floyd as a cop
would have been
fired
done.
Already?
It would have been done. It would have been over.
And
they would have found guilty. But the whole thing
is
this is not upset. But this is not a racial thing. This is not racial. It looks racial, but it's not racial. This is personal. And this is a punk, like I said before, this is a punk with a badge. So he used his authority to carry out his personal revenge. He's using qualified immunity to protect him. He's using the badge to protect him. See, that's the whole
thing. But I'm going to give you something that probably a lot of people find a little bit shocking that has gone on in this particular case. Now, we've all talked ad nauseum about that blue wall of silence that we always talk about, how usually police officers protect their own.
Yeah.
I noticed in this case, specifically in this case, how a lot of those police officers are not really standing behind that, mostly because they realize, because of the gravity of this case and how egregious everything on video is, what was told to the standers by that they weren't able to actually help another person who was actually dying in the street. After all of that, I saw police officer after officer after officer after chief of police after officer literally say, this is not what he was trained to do. This is not what he was supposed to do. He is absolutely wrong in what he did. He did not follow procedure. Now, I did see some for the prosecution, for the defense, say that he did what he was trained to do. But mostly for the prosecution's case in watching this, that a lot of those police officers who usually would keep their mouths shut or at least divert some of what they would normally say away from the actual case, that did not happen in this case, which is probably a little bit much, a little different than what we're normally used to seeing in a case like this.
You know
yeah,
why?
Not much.
You know why?
Go ahead, Brother B.
You know why? It's to protect their own asses. Because, see, if the
exactly.
world didn't burn, if the world didn't burn after what everybody saw, they wouldn't have been saying that. But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
They have to CYA. They have to cover their asses. They have to. They have
uh-huh.
to. They have to back. They have to back the people on this one and be like, yeah, this guy was wrong. Because you know what? You make yourself. You not only make yourself, but you show yourself being the problem when you side with an individual like that and what he did.
Which we all have agreed. This is a problem. It's not. Is this really a problem, or is this something that we know for many, many years that we finally make a noise about it, then we'll die down to the next one? And before I give the case off, talk about the next one. We think last year people had learned, you think police have learned about this situation. Well, unfortunately, before we go to the next topic, there was more incidents of this happening in Chicago with, I believe, an Army veteran guy. And another case. So apparently, people have not learned their lesson, especially the police, because this thing is still keep going overall.
But that's
okay, though. What do you like to say, then? Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's up, y'all? What's up, everybody?
What up,
Kato? Hey, what's up, brother? What's up, everybody? Everybody?
Hold on. Let me give it to Brother B first, then to you, Kato.
Okay. Wait, real quick. We can't blame the badge. It's the individual. It's the individuals that hide behind the badge, and that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We can't target the police. Just like the police want to target us because of our color. Everybody wants to target us because of our color, but it's to the individual, and we cannot be as Neanderthalish as they are. So somewhere along the line, we have to separate. Even though they don't, we have to be bigger than that, as we always are.
Mm-hmm. Okay, K-Dog?
To say what to agree, I'm listening to everybody, and I agree. However, allow me to play devil's advocate before I say anything. Do we need the police? Yes, we do. But here's what I gotta say. As police officers, and I've said this before, it is your responsibility as a police officer to protect and serve. That doesn't give you the right to use your badge and your gun as a way to execute power, as a way to execute abuse on an individual.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this time and time again when it comes to hot rod. I'm sorry, I have to bring up the race car. When it comes to black people, we've seen this time and time again. Because you know what it is? You know what it is? Like, when I look at what happened to George Floyd, like last year, we saw Breonna Taylor, we saw Ahmaud Arbery, and we see George Floyd. And the cops, and the list continues, and the list goes on and on, even now what we're going through. Now, this police officer, Derek Chauvin, said, oh, they're coming out with everything, all that. They always try to paint the victim as if the victim caused the incident to happen to them. And that's the sad part about it. George Floyd was already scared. Anybody who saw the tape, did you see how scared he was when the police came up to him? And he said it numerous times. And he said it numerous times that he was claustrophobic. The police didn't want to hear that.
Okay.
Oh, he was using drugs.
To your argument, and then I'll go to Phil. To your argument, K-Dog, how many times a person who is being arrested will say things to the cops to distract them? I'm not saying that George Floyd was lying, but these cops, they go through situations all the time. Like, I'm claustrophobic. I don't want to be arrested. In the heat of the battle, you may not take his word or not. You may not believe George Floyd or not. I'm not talking about I can't breathe. I can't believe I'm
right.
That
it happened.
Real. But to say
it happened.
It happens. But they say I'm claustrophobic, I'm blah blah blah, my reaction. Maybe the cops did not believe him at that time. I'm not making excuses for them.
Yeah,
but,
Derek Chauvin didn't even want to hear that.
And that
even when,
too, right?
Right, and even when they took him out of the car and threw him down on the ground. Now, when you take your knee, when you kneel down, you know all your weight goes to your knee. If you kneel down on the ground, if you kneel down, whether you're kneeling on both knees or one knee, all your weight goes to your knee. Now, what he did was that as George Floyd was on the ground, his knee was on the back of his neck. And he did not want to get off. As big as a guy is. Go ahead.
Yeah, but to your point, and I'm bringing this to Phil, from what Cato was saying, does that make him guilty, Phil, when Cato does explain?
Oh, hello. Sorry.
Hey, Phil,
I mean, what's up?
Fishman.
Well, the bottom line is, Derek Chauvin is guilty. He's guilty. He literally had his knee on George Floyd's neck.
Yeah.
I mean, how many examiners came out and said what George Floyd got was of asphyxiation? I mean, his knee literally, when you're putting your knee on someone's neck like that, you're going to kill him. He killed
no matter
the man.
How big the person is.
I don't care.
Yes, but as Lady T stated a couple weeks ago, we all know what happened. We all know the cause of it. But the problem is, can you really prove that it was a knee that caused him, that was a cause of death? We know it's a cause.
You know what it is,
death,
Hot Rod?
Can you prove it in a,
do you believe me or your lying eyes? The prosecution literally did everything in their power to turn this from the Derek Chauvin case or the Derek Chauvin trial and turn it into the George Floyd trial. Every single thing that happened, every excuse in the books, every character assassination tactic, every excuse that they could find, was levied 100% there and literally made to make sure that he was the victim and Derek Chauvin was the guy that did not do what he did, even though you could see that he did what he did, and that was the way it was explained. And what we start to see happen now, and this happens with a lot of minorities that have gone through, whether you're Black, Hispanic, Asian American, whatever the minority is, the anger of that minority and their reality ends up getting weaponized against that same minority as the main reason why your reality exists. And that's the problem that we see when we get into these cases where, it was your fault, you're a victim of your environment, you did this, you did that, and instead of actually seeing what that is, actually try to make sure that we understand that it's here, let's do differently. Let's do better and make sure that this doesn't happen. That
just like I was saying before.
But,
like I was saying before, because we've seen this happen many times. We've seen the character assassination. Like, they always try to make the victim look like the victim was the one that caused their own predicament.
Okay, so perfect example to you guys. The three cases that happened. The lieutenant that got taser, the kid in Chicago, Sean, you know me, I always forget names. Was it Wright that got killed?
Dante Wright, who was shot in this car.
Dante Wright was in the car.
First of all, let me say this. How the hell you are a police officer that has been on the force for 26 years, and you can't tell the difference between a gun and a taser?
Well,
come on.
Because still, easily. We all know it was BS. She was there to shoot. Just like the kid in Chicago, the one that dropped his gun down, he had his arms up. The cop was ready to kill him anyway. That's what they are trained to do, I believe. Shoot first.
No, you know what? You know what? Yeah, but you know what? That's the thing. Sometimes it's about training, and sometimes it's about your intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've really been seeing cases of this is their intentions. These are the savages that they are. These are people who get these jobs to be able to do what they want to do. And listen, some of them have no regard for life. So to have a job where you can have an excuse to hurt or kill somebody or beat up on somebody, it's perfect. For them,
yes,
it is. And this is what the badge provides for them. You can't give heart to a coward. A coward, in a lot of cases, is just going to continue to be a coward. And these cowards have that metal heart, that little badge. But when you take it off, what are they? They're still cowards. When they take that uniform off, it is what it is. So it's all about intent.
It's all about total control.
So Kimberly, I believe her name, the cop that took out her gun instead of a taser, she was afraid for her life.
How was she afraid for her life if he was unarmed? If he was fleeing. No, not even forget
exactly.
The unarmed. If he was fleeing,
mm-hmm.
How was she in fear of her life if he was fleeing? See, you know what they try? Some people try to make the excuses that just because you're a cop, you don't have to do this or you don't have to do that. You can act and you can do whatever because you're a police officer. That's bullshit. Because you know what? It's to the discretion of the individual. But a lot of people know that they can get away with it. They know the department is going to back them, so they do it. But I got a bigger question. And I got a bigger question, and I'm sorry. I got to ask it. Why does it always seem like it's Caucasian men or women that are always in these positions? You don't see no Asian cops, a whole bunch of Asian cops, or Indians, or Hispanic cops, or black cops. You don't see a whole bunch of them in these situations, but it's always a Caucasian man or woman. I don't know what to say about that.
No, we know the answers to that. I'll give to Sean first.
I'm gonna answer your question with something that just happened in Minnesota now that we framed this whole deal. There was a white man in Minnesota that was arrested just a couple days ago for going into a hardware store, was told to wear a mask, and got into an argument with the person that runs the store and threatened to hit him with a piece of lumber. The police told him to get out of the store. You know what this guy did? He beat this police officer with a hammer while dragging him in his truck.
Wow.
And he's not dead. He was arrested just fine. Perfectly regular, normal. You know, he wasn't beaten upside the head. He wasn't tasered. He wasn't shot and killed. He went to court. No real issues. When you juxtapose that to another case that happened in Texas by a guy named Marvin Scott III, 26-year-old man who had schizophrenia, black man, pulled over for having 2 ounces of marijuana in his car, which led the police to then take him to jail and haul him off. They put a spit shield on him, as you've heard, when people are, quote-unquote, having a mental health breakdown so that they don't, you know, because of COVID, et cetera. Gets to the holding cell.
Yeah.
While he's in the holding cell, he has another episode. Police go in there to try to restrain him. He was choked to death. You're going to be hearing about this Marvin Scott III deal.
A different
deal.
Story.
So, Phil, a different story. To answer your question, Phil, earlier, after a whole year, nothing has changed. So whether Derek is guilty or not, we will still be talking about these stories over and over and over again.
I don't doubt that.
But to Brother B's point, I think these stories happen all the time, but since the media love to talk about the black and white situation, but why? We feed off of that. It could be an Asian cop that killed a black guy. That happens before. We don't hear much about it, and vice versa. But as always, as we discussed on this panel, when it is a white and a black situation, the whole world does lose their mind over it.
Because we're the enemy to beat. We're the enemy to beat. Just like
exactly.
In the John Wayne movies. Just like in John Wayne movies, it was the white men versus the Indians. So everybody had to root for the Cowboys. The Cowboys, white men. Mm-hmm. The Indians were no good. Even though the real story, when we grow up, we realize why the Indians were doing what they were doing. But there's a color issue. It's a and said, you're not going, you're going to do as we say, not as we do thing when it comes to them. And it's like, you know, some people will say, oh, that sounds racist. It's not racist. It is what it is. I don't have
it's reality.
Okay. About anything, but it's just the reality of things. This is this country was founded on blood and racism. Simple and plain. So how you start is how it is. And how it will continue.
So
you've seen this happen many.
Sean Black and Cato, to your takeaway, what was your thought about the teenager that got killed by the cop? Now, even though, like I said earlier, he was running from the cop, he dropped his gun and raised his hand up and got killed. Of course, people will be saying, you know what, he's a teenager, this is Chicago. Chicago is a hot spot anyway. And why is this kid is going outside 2 o'clock in the morning and he had a gun? Basically, he asked for this. He got himself in trouble, and look what happened to him. Sean and Cato, what's your takeaway from that?
Well, I see the same kind of character assassination job that they did, because this is a 13-year-old Hispanic boy in Chicago, where I hear a lot of politicians that want to talk about gun violence and criminality. They talk about three places: California, you hear about New York, and then you hear about Chicago. Those are the three places that they always talk about when they start talking about these kinds of things. If you're going to go ahead and look at what happened here, they've shown pictures. We have seen the video of the cop chasing the young man, and then he turned around. You see his hands empty, and then he gets shot. The issue is, what did he do that caused that chase? Whether he had a gun on him or not, we don't know everything yet. But the mindset of the police officers that this is what happens with a 13-year-old. I have not heard or seen video of any 13-year-old white male or white female have anywhere near the amount of attention paid to them when it comes to something like whatever was being charged, whether it was a gun charge or they're looking for whatever is the crime. And that is the difference in the amount of force and the amount of things needed or happening in this country.
No.
It's heavily skewed.
I'm sorry, Sean. You forgot when the guy who was killing members in the church, that church, he got treated at Burger King? You all completely
yeah.
missed about that.
Oh, yeah.
No one knew
yeah,
about that.
Yes,
a
this, of course.
Yeah.
This
but
is what I was saying.
He was able to live and actually go through this stuff. Or even more so, let's talk about the 17, I think he's 17 or 18, I can't remember his age, Kyle Rittenhouse from last year, during the protests where everybody was peacefully protesting, and he was able
to
walk
to
through the
gun.
Streets
yeah.
with an AR-15 rifle and kill
yep.
two people. Now, in not in just, you know, it just happened, whatever.
And he,
he's walking
and
in
he
the street
did it
in broad daylight.
And
he walked over to the police.
No police officer.
He asked for water. They gave him
yeah.
water while he had the gun strapped around his back.
Because he did a great job.
But this
job.
Kid.
He did what they wanted. He did his job.
Know,
that's
because
why
this
he was
kid, this kid.
Go ahead, K-Dog.
But this kid here was 13 years old, right? He had his hands up. They were chasing him. And he had both his hands up. He did not – he dropped his gun and had both his hands up, but still he was shot up. He still got shot
because
and killed.
Because what did he make them do?
He made them chase after them.
He made
exactly.
them chase after
them.
But yet these murderers who walked around with their guns, and like you said, the one who shot the protesters at you, he walked around. He had the gun on him, but yet they didn't shoot him down.
Because he didn't resist.
If I have to say it,
I will say it. He did not resist.
But
it's all about interpretation
Brother B,
and
before
perception.
You go there,
go ahead.
You know, Brother B, you hear stories all the time that there have been black people that have been complied. They're not living right now. They're 6 feet under.
Yeah,
so as
they're
I said,
dead.
Whether you comply, you argue, you refuse.
But like I said,
you know,
still,
whatever.
It's, listen, it's all, once again, it boils down to intent. Listen, if somebody's intent to do harm, has an intent to do harm, that's just what they're going to do. There's nothing you can stop that. Some people are just hardwired a certain way, and they get these jobs. That's why the screening process should be way more stringent when it comes. But I think what's going to happen, what's going to change, is the fact that since they got rid of, or certain places are getting rid of qualified immunity, now you're going to see change. But the sad part is those good cops that stayed quiet, now they're going to suffer. Because now they just open themselves up to problems.
Thank you for bringing that point up, because that was my next question to Phil and Brother B. We always talk about where are the good cops, where are the good cops, where are the good cops. But we always say there are good cops, there are bad cops. Do you believe, I'll start with you, Phil, first, we need better police reform, or do you believe, you know, and also do you believe that the good cops need to start talking up, or, you know what, stay quiet because, you know, they're in fear for their lives as well?
You know, it can go both ways, and I'll tell you why. My opinion is, every police precinct around the country or wherever, you're going to have your bad apples one way or another. And I think the good cops need to start speaking up and say, hey, this guy does not know what he's doing. I mean, a 13-year-old is running for his life from a cop because he's afraid. I mean, at 13 years old, you're afraid. You don't know what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, my brother and I, we have a mutual friend. He is a captain here for Roanoke City, and he's even told us there's been some bad cops in his in that precinct that they've had to let go.
Yes.
But listen, let me just say this: Derek Chauvin had a personal vendetta against George Floyd, even before all this began. So this, to me, this whole thing was a big part of it. Whether they like to hear it or not.
I agree.
Yes. Where are the good cops? You know, why are they not speaking up? Are they afraid to be blackballed?
Help me out, Sean Black. Absolute
You'll be looked upon as a traitor.
No, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Serpico, John Serpico.
When
my kid's mother got out of that, before she got out of the academy, the instructor told the class, everybody in here needs to either watch or buy that movie, Serpico.
Mm-hmm.
That tells the
story.
Because the whole thing is this. Once you put yourself in a situation, nobody wants a partner that's crooked. But if you have a partner that's crooked, you have to do it. You have to get your hand. You might have to get your hands dirty, because if you rat them out, that could be your life.
I think the full statement
dirty,
that you're looking for is power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolute.
Oh, corrupts absolute. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's just
because
true.
It starts at the top. It starts at the top because now that they've gotten rid of qualified immunity in New York, I don't hear that bastard Patrick Lynch or any of these police unions. I don't hear them saying anything. You know why? Because they were saying the wrong thing, sticking up for the wrong thing, and look what happened.
Yeah.
So now the good cops, now the whole orchard is going to suffer because of all of these bad apples. You should have took care of it in the beginning, and then you wouldn't have this issue now.
Okay, real quick, let's talk about that Phil, it sounds like I'm picking on you, but I'm really not. Well, let's talk about white people and these lately mass shootings going on, you know. It seems like these white people are going crazy again with this mass shooting this year.
Oh, my goodness.
They had, like, what, three in 2 weeks, give or take?
Yeah.
You know?
It is ridiculous with what is going on with these mass shootings and how these people are, I mean, and a lot of these people, I am sure, have easy access to get a gun. And I think that's half the start of the problem right there. It is so easy to get a gun.
Well, Biden administration, they are trying to do more gun control. But overall, we all agree you can't stop the guns in this country. We talk about this gun topic a million times.
Because you know what? You look at the different states. Don't forget, there's different laws going on in different states. When it comes to guns.
Listen, I've said this before.
You have to remember that a lot of politicians have complete insouciance into whether or not guns are going to be taken off. And that's all they talk about. Keep your guns, Second Amendment rights. They're coming for your guns, and they're coming for your religion.
And you know what?
All you hear.
And this is where the other states, because you look at the other states, let's just say you go down south. Kids even have guns. And I'm not talking about 9mm. I'm talking about big-time rifles, shotguns, hardware.
AR-15s.
AR-15s, AK-47s. They carry them. They walk around with them.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've said it before, and I'm sure you've heard me say it. If someone wants to get a gun, they're going to get it. Listen, my brother was 13 years old and went to Edward R. Murrow High School. Someone was trying to sell him a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell you?
And you can't stop gun smuggling neither, because guess what? Guess what, gentlemen? Gun smuggling, let's just say, okay, I could drive from New York, I could drive from right here in New York City and drive all the way down to Atlanta, and I could pick up guns there for cheap. And then I could have guns and I could trade them. And then after that, then I could bring the guns that I have from the state of Georgia, and I could drive them up here in New York, and I could sell them.
And
one's going to know.
A funny story last week in Times Square in New York City, in case you have not heard, Phil, some guy was in the train station at 42nd Street, charging his phone, and he had his rifle out on the open, on the floor, and the cops walk up to him like, what you doing? And he thought the guns is legal to carry guns in New York City.
Which I believe
he came from Ohio.
It's not.
Yes. Well, so he came from Ohio or something, but it's like, this is how scary it is right now, how someone feels like he's free to walk around with a gun, and you're in New York City, in Times Square, tourist area, and with all this mass shooting going on, like, wait a minute, is this going to happen over here now? We all know mass shooting could happen anywhere at any time. But when at FedEx happened at nighttime, go figure. But, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the lovely, talented Lady T. What do you like to say? Take it away.
I don't know. This came in on the gun part. I wasn't listening. But I think what we fail to sometimes realize is that every state doesn't have the same gun laws. A lot of people don't realize that. So.
You know, here's the thing. You can go anywhere and get a gun. You can go to Walmart and purchase a gun. You can go to a gun show and purchase a gun. I mean, I don't know how background checks are done, but I think there really needs to be something done with the background checks. I think they need to be more stringent, you know, not just a simple background check and say, okay, you can have it. They really, really need to make these background checks more stringent.
Well, it's not so much the background checks, right? It's the laws that are outdated on this.
Exactly.
Isn't that what they're constantly fighting for when the whole thing with gun laws come up and this, that, and the other? I mean, isn't this country, it's the right to pursue arms? I don't know how to say it, Brother B.
The right to bear arms.
There you go. I'm like backwards with that, whatever. Y'all know what I mean.
Depending where you're at, the background check is nothing, because there's certain things that you're checking for.
Yeah.
If you're going to buy a long gun, you know what I'm saying, there's certain things they're looking for. A handgun, they're a little more stringent, but there's certain things that they are looking for. And if you, like, it's not like everyone in this country has had a psychological background, you know, psychological test done, as to where it will come up if you're 7:30 or a quarter to 8. They don't know that. So they're just going off of just simple stuff. If you don't have any felonies, or if they don't really see anything on your record, then you get approved for it. And that's just that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the southern states, it's even worse. It's even easier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, what do you do?
It is.
You got a little, You got toddlers with guns, like down in the South.
Yeah, because you get because so, like I said,
America loves
I'm
guns.
Glad we all see what's
America
going on with the
guns.
Other states because they have different
okay.
they have different laws for different states have different laws and they pass those laws.
Okay,
that's why it's easier for them to carry guns the way they do in those other states. It's more lenient.
All right, for Lady T, before we move on to the next topic, is there anything you'd like to address about mass shooting, police encounters lately with the in Chicago, the taser, or the Derek verdict?
All of the above it's not the same cycle that keeps repeating itself. Laws are outdated. That's the problem. Laws are so outdated.
Mm-hmm.
All of these shootings have happened
mm-hmm.
that no one has updated yes. any kind of laws with all this has been going on for decades now. It's time to update laws. If people can't see that, I don't know what to say, especially that taser one had me so brokenhearted. It's beyond because a taser and a gun, we're talking about two different weights here. But none of the above I want to
mm-hmm.
touch on other than just saying that. So,
okay, no problem. But I just find it funny that with a taser one, it's like if you come up, you know, police come up with excuses. You
Every
have to come
time.
Up with better excuse than that. You know, it was like really
you're
a 26. Oh, come on.
What bugs me out is this. You're a 26-year-old, you're a 26-year veteran. You mean to tell me you can't tell the difference between a taser and a gun? Come on now.
That,
and you know what's even
you know,
worse? She goes,
thing,
oh,
see,
my goodness,
why
I
are we
shot
stuck
him.
On
like,
that? But wait a minute.
Like,
the whole
what?
Thing is why are we stuck on that? That's the thing. Why? Like, we can be stuck on that all we want to, but the whole thing is she is probably going to walk because.
And that's the sad part about it.
He
yeah.
resisted.
All right.
And see, you
Hold
know
on.
What? And you know what?
Brother
real quick. Yes.
Sorry,
yes.
Brother B. I was just going to
no,
say I'm she's
sorry.
Also going to walk because remember that guy that hugged the other officer that killed his brother? She's going to walk
yes.
because of people
yes.
like
yes.
that too. But
mm-hmm.
sorry, Brother B.
Absolutely
go ahead.
Right. Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely
okay.
right. The only thing I can say is real quick, Hot Rod, we need to start educating
mm-hmm.
not only the adults, but the children as well. Stop
yes.
giving these cats
Amen.
Work.
Yes.
No,
I agree with that 100%.
You know, anything could be resistant. Anything can be interpreted as resistant. You sucking
mm-hmm.
your teeth and looking the other way is considered resistant.
Yeah.
Stop giving them
okay. All right, last topic with 10 minutes left. I want to talk about a little bit about a rapper that we lost 2 weeks ago, DMX.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there was, you know, some stories behind it about his death. It was a heart attack. Drug overdose. Now, later I just found out that from Brother B that it could be COVID vaccine related. Who knows? But as just like Brother B and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, how the paper of the Daily News, I believe, how they talk about the Prince.
The
when,
New York
when
Post.
When Sean texts me about the Prince, New York Post. When Sean texts me about the Prince passing away, I'm like, the Prince who? Who the hell is that? Then he told me who he was. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Who cares? But when we all find out DMX passed away, like, oh, my God, no. I couldn't believe it. But I like, some people quickly went to judgment about the drugs related. And Sean and I were talking about it, like, why people quickly point to someone troubled past and always
exactly.
have to blame drugs? You know, because when I was sick for a couple of weeks ago, as you guys knew, and I told Sean this, I had to take opioid. I took that. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I was not hooked on it completely. But I could see why people could be hooked on that drug. But it was for my pain. It then went away. And when the pain came back, the first thing that came to my mind it was taking that pill again. I didn't take it. My doctor didn't want to, you know, give it to me, and I didn't want it. But I could see why people could be hooked on drugs like that overall. So why people always come to bad judgment on someone when they do take drugs overall? Sean Black.
It was forced on him. Don't forget that. He didn't
yeah,
say him from the two. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was forced on him.
Well,
yeah,
first,
but at the
as
same
far
time,
as...
People,
well,
so,
as far
hold,
as
hold on, Sean Black. Hold on, Sean Black. But they will say that he was a troubled star, but they don't know his history. They don't know his past. They just knew that he took drugs and just want to say trouble star. You know, so while the Prince, who passed away, like, he didn't do anything bad. He he was held as, you know, a hero or whatever. And that happened in London. Who the hell cares happened in London, especially in America? Well, go ahead, Sean Black.
Well, we all know how the media romanticizes the monarchy, especially in England. And this has been going on for the longest time. So we know that whatever happened in London doesn't necessarily stay in London. We're going to hear about it here. As far as DMX goes, as far as his drug use and all of the things that he did, he self-medicated because he was abused. He was, I believe, physically abused. I believe he was sexually abused when he was young. And he went through a lot of pain and a lot of suffering growing up, and probably turned to drugs or was turned towards drugs to help him get all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about the fact that he had that to deal with and then all of the other things that happened in his life, then we saw how many times that he tried to stay sober and then he would fall off the wagon. And then we remember, I think it was like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Dr. Phil tried to help him get himself straightened out by helping him, and you know. So he did have helpers, and those helpers tried. But you can only help when that person is either ready to get that help or actually is allowing themselves to realize, I've hit rock bottom, I'm going to help. And he might have been so far gone from all of the stress and the trauma and all of the things that happened in his life, he had his music to fall back on, but by then, his body had already taken as much damage as it could from the years and years of abuse.
If I caught up to him, it was a heart attack due to drug overdose without even knowing the whole facts yet. You know, it's like, wow, you know, these reporters, you know, they jumped to the conclusion
already.
You got to
discredit.
While the family,
you got to discredit.
Exactly.
I think that's my problem overall.
DMX never hid the fact that he had problems. He brought it out to his music. But the bottom line is that he also helped people get
what
they were getting.
And that's what they wanted to diminish. I mean, listen, no one can ever listen. You can't say, what can you say about DMX? Right? He embodied what of the spirit of humanity. He is what humanity is. We're not perfect.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I tell you one thing, ain't no, how many rappers out there, how many MCs, anybody in R&B. Listen, he was praying like he was doing gospel music.
Exactly.
He
prayed before and after his concerts.
But he was also praying for us. He was praying with us, for himself, and he was praying for us. And see, you can't take that away from the man. I don't care. You listen, whatever he did to himself. And that's sad. Because how he got hooked on drugs, like he said, somebody laced a blunt that he was smoking. And they didn't tell him what was in it, and he smoked it and went from there. But the thing is this, you can't take nothing away from that man. Because whatever was on him, whatever was in his heart, he put it out there in his music. He didn't lie to you. He put it out there. And see, that's the whole thing.
Exactly.
Of course, somebody's going to want to diminish a great talent like that because, like I said, he showed how much he gave a damn more than how much he didn't give a damn.
Okay, Lady T?
I don't know how many of us have lived life already and have been through a lot of different experiences. I mean, what makes any of his experiences any different other than somebody lacing his stuff, having him hooked on drugs, certain things that he's battled for years upon years, got off of it, got back on, off on. That's the life of a real addict. I don't know how many of you were born in the crack epidemic and don't realize this or have lost friends and seen friends' parents. I still have one of my best friends, his parent is still on drugs, rehab, out of rehab, clean again, back to rehab. It's a repeated cycle. So for us to keep highlighting that this and that has happened, where a man has always tried to turn around his life, you've seen that numerous times, even when he got caught up with the tax stuff and was locked up on Rikers and so forth, constantly trying to live a better life. Can you diminish that from this? It's death. we're all going to come and face it one point or another, and you're not going to know how it's going to come, in what form. So for anyone to keep on judging, oh, he was a drug addict, he was this, he was that, he had 17, 18 kids, whatever the case is, that's what a man was put here to do, right? Great, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nobody could say you're perfect.
I mean, it's like...
And that was the reason why I purposely
didn't
bring up his kids, because that would be the narrative that a lot of people would use negatively towards him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's in
a negative light, but
he's an entertainer. What do you expect? I'm sure his lady already knew about it. That's their business, and that's the point. Certain things
mm-hmm.
need to
mm-hmm.
stay in the home, but it's not. He's a celebrity. This is what they do. They're on tour. I have a friend that worked
mm-hmm.
with celebrities that said the same thing to me. You know, I'm not going to be a single man. If I am a single man, certain things come up, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay,
mm-hmm.
I get that. That's regular men in the
yeah.
street, though. So I'm not impressed when you say
yes.
something like that, because I'm thinking that's a regular
yes,
guy that's in the street that can be. So all these
mm-hmm.
narratives, as far as with his death, it's like draining. It's sad how he died, and it's that the other let people mourn. Like, I don't even think about that when I think about him. I'm thinking of the song with him and Cisco, What You Really Want From a, you know what? Like, yo, I'm not thinking about all that.
They don't know.
I heard my brother. Can I tell you, my brother was blasting on his phone, downloaded songs of DMX all last week. From the song that lady T just mentioned to Y'all Gonna Make Me Lose My Mind. If he
yeah.
wants, whatever song
Slipping.
My brother plays, he's got it.
Slipping.
And
Slipping
it's great lyrics. When
realistic.
You listen to the lyrics, it's like bone
yep.
chilling. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
He's an orator.
And you guys
are
And all you guys have proven how great and talented he was and the legacy
he
that he left behind.
That'd
and
be
we didn't think about, we think about all the great things he had done for us and now, like, all the bad things. Because, you know what? Like, we all said nobody's perfect. But, Lady T, I have a little bit bone to pick with you with 2 minutes left. I called you
Uh-oh.
Last week nonstop because I was very upset when I heard the news about A-Rod and J-Lo broke up again. And I want to
oh
talk about it, but you did not pick up the phone.
Oh, let me touch on that. Why you waited 2 minutes to talk about that?
because I don't know who.
All right, let me say it quickly in less than 2 minutes. What did y'all expect? Hold on. J-Lo
oh my
is
goodness.
J-Lo got a plan. She's like, I'm a bad chick. I'm dating you for 3 years. You ever seen any guy go over 3 years? Not even Mark Anthony, but it got bad past 3 years. Then I went and had 2 kids by Mark Anthony, came back, hooked up with him again, broke up with him before the 3 years is out. Why guys don't look at female patterns? Homegirl is the serial dater. Are y'all
local? And serial engager as well.
And you know what? As a Met fan, I am so glad that we dodged a bullet with not having J-Lo and A-Rod.
Oh, my goodness.
Phil, she would have jumped you two in 3 years. Sorry, Phil. You would have been on here heartbroken doing the headlines to this story.
Listen,
she was ready for you. Don't play, Phil.
I'm just happy that J-Lo have more rings than Thanos. And Tom Brady right now, okay? I'm just happy for her.
Listen to me. On a serious note with it, it's, you have some guys out there, really good guys, that really dream of marriage and things like that, you know, and want to do that and want a family and want this, that, the next. The same way, I'm sorry that you got to tell females to take their head out of the clouds. You guys got to look at patterns. You guys be so stuck on she's the baddest chick, she's beautiful, she's this. Some of the most beautiful chicks, and I'm not talking about me at all, so don't try to say nothing here, but they mental is not stable. And y'all be so fascinated.
Yes.
Tell them, take off your wig, wash your face. I want to see your natural face and all of this and see how they react. If they tell you, hell no, it's too soon for me to
mm-hmm.
do that, that's not the chick you want. Sorry.
All right. Okay, see?
Yeah.
I gave it. See, you broke it down perfectly for me, and thank you for thank you for telling me this, Lady T. Thank you.
On that note, I'll tell you one thing. I'm sure you heard about A-Rod. He's going to be part of a group that's going to be owning the Minnesota Timberwolves. And when they asked some of the players you know, if they, you know, about A-Rod, they were like saying, who?
Oh, of course. But guys, Sean, K-Dog, Brother B, Lady T, guys, thank you so much. Have a good night. Tomorrow,
good
the
night,
menu,
night, y'all.
Radio on Block Talk Radio.
Good night, y'all.
8:30 or 9 o'clock tomorrow night?
Nah, 9 o'clock.
Which time?
9 o'clock
tomorrow. Tune in. All
right,
guys. Take care.
Right.
See you next time.
Later, y'all. Be safe.
Later.